This presentation is brought to you by iAwaken.org, a not-for-profit organization. We hope you enjoy the presentation. Please observe the copyright terms to which you have agreed.
In the instructions regarding the construction of the Beis HaMikdash and the Mishkan, and in the fulfillment of those instructions. And it's the very slight inconsistencies with respect to this repetition which attracts the attention of Chazal, and from which we're able to learn a tremendous amount of very important ideas. To start off with, there's a peculiar medrash on this week's parsha. The Torah says, Vayas Bezalel es ha'orin. And Bezalel made the orin. On that says the Medrash the following. Hado dichtiv, that's what it means when it says, Pesach dvorecho yoir, mevin pesoyim. And David HaMelech says in Tehillim Kuf Yud Tes to the Ribbono Shel Olam, the opening of your words give light, it enables simple people to understand. Says the Medrash, B'sho she'boro HaKadosh Baruch Le'ilomo, when the Ribbono Shel Olam created his world, hoyo kulo mayim b'mayim, it was all just a mix up of water within water, v'choshech al p'nei tohoim, and there was darkness on the face of the deep. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemiah. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemiah have a machlekes. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, ha'oir boro tchilo, v'achar kach ha'ilom. He says, first light was created and then the world. That's Rabbi Yehuda. Moshal, for example, Lemelech shebikesh livnos paltin, a king who was about to build a palace. V'hoyo hamokoyim ofel, and the place was very dark. Meir also, what did he do? He lit neiros ufanosim, he lit candles and torches and beacons. Leido hechu kovea dimusim, to understand, to see, perceive how he is to lay his foundations. Kachayur nivres tchila. In the same way, the Ribbono Shel Olam, it was dark. Before he started creating the world, the first thing he created was light. Rabbi Nechemiah Omar, and Rabbi Nechemiah says, Ha'olam nivra tchila. No? The world was created before light. Mashal Lemelech, for example, a king Shabono Palterin, who built a palace, the Itro Beneiros, and he decorated it with chandeliers. That's the last touch he puts in. When everything else is ready, he puts in the light fittings. That's the last thing that you put in, not the first. So Machlok is Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemiah. This Machlok expresses itself fairly clearly in the words of the Chumash, which are ambiguous. It says, Bereshis Boro Elokim Es HaShomayim Ves Haaretz, which normally is translated as, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. So what did he create first? Heaven and earth. That's like Rabbi Nechemiah. V'ha'aretz ha'isa tohu v'avoyu v'choshech al p'nei ha'tohim, etc. There was darkness. V'yomer Hashem Yehiyoh. And then, having created heaven and earth, he said, let there be light. Like Rabbi Nechemiah, that's the Pashtus. Rabbi Yehuda says, no. Bereshis, it was at the beginning, Boro Elokim Es HaShamayim Ves Haaretz, at the beginning of God's creation of the heaven and the earth, that he said, Yehiyo, let there be light. That was the first step of the creation. So there are two ways of translating Bereshis. The third way also, which we might come to. But these are the two ways of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemiah. Is it that in the beginning God created heaven and earth, and then he said, let there be light? Or is it, in the beginning, when God created heaven and earth, the first thing he said was, let there be light? So machlokes. Very peculiar machlokes. What is the argument about? Secondly, it's all very well that a builder who's building a palace needs light so that he can see where to lay his foundations and where to build his walls. But the Ribbono Shel Olam also needed a light. Couldn't the Ribbono Shel Olam make the world without the lights on? Doesn't seem to make sense on the surface. That's our first difficulty. We need to understand that medrash. The second point, there are two things in the parasha which disturb Chazal. Firstly, now you've got to start looking in your Chumash. In Parashas Truma, Perek Kaf Hei, Pasuk Ches. And you're going to need about four fingers to keep the places in all the different places we're going to be looking. This is the first point at which Moshe receives the tzivui, the instruction from the Ribbono Shel Olam, to build the Mishkan. The Osu Li Mikdosh V'Shochanti B'Seichel, and they shall make for me a Mikdosh, and I shall dwell among them. And then he goes on into details in Pasuk Yud. The Osu Aroin Atzei Shittim, and they shall make an Aroin Atzei Shittim, Udam Osayim V'Chetzi, Orko V'Amo V'Chetzi, Rochbo V'Amo V'Chetzi, Koy Moso, etc., etc. The details of how to make the Oren, the Ark. And then in Pasuk Yud Zayin, Vosiso Kapore Zov Toir, and you shall make a lid for the Ark. And so it goes on, and in Pasuk Kaf Gimel, Vosiso Shulchon Atzei Shittim, you shall make a Shulchon. And so it goes on, the details of how to make a Shulchon. And in Lamed Aleph, Vosiso Menoira Zov Toir, you shall make a Menoira. Then all the details of how to make a menorah. And then in the beginning of Perek Kavov of chapter 26, there's a Mishkan Tase. Now how do you make the Mishkan itself? You've made the Orin, and you've made the Shulchan, and you've made the menorah. Now how do you make the Mishkan? Esa Yurias, you make it from 10 sections, Shesh Mosda, that should be made in the following way. And then we've got all the details of how to make the Mishkan itself. That's point number one. Then in Perek Lamed Aleph, in Parshas Ki Tiso, look at the end of Pasuk Vov, V'osu es kol asher tzivisicho, and they, that means Bezalel and his team, shall make everything which I have commanded you, es oil moed ve'es oren loidus ve'es akapuris, a brief summary of everything they have to make. The Mishkan, the Oren, the Kapuris, and all the Klei Ha'oyel, the Shulchan, the Menoiro, the Mizbeach, and so on. That's point two. Next we go to Vayakel, Perek Lamed Hei. A detailed instruction in Truma and a general instruction in Ki Tiso. Now in Vayakel, look at Lamed Hei Dalet, 35 verse 4. Now Moshe tells the Bnei Yisrael, this is what the Ribbono Shel Olam has instructed. And if you move on now to verse Yud, b'chol chacham leiv bochem, and every wise-hearted man among you, yavoyu v'yasu esko asher tzivu Hashem, will come and do whatever Hashem has instructed. Es hamishkon es o'aloyv es michseir es krosov es kroshov, the Mishkan and its tent, and its cover, and its beams, and etc., etc. The Orin in 12, and Yud Beis, it's the Orin, the Ark, there's Bado, there's Akapuris, and the covering. In Yud Gimel, there's Ashulchon, there's Bado, there's Kol Kelov. In Yud Dalet, there's Menorah, Samor, there's Kelov, there's Neirusel, the Menorah. In Tesvov, the Mizbeach. So here we've got Moshe telling the Bnei Yisrael what to do, again, not in the detail of Truma, but rather in the shortened form, similar to the way it is in Kitiso. The third point that we have. And the fourth one, in Vayakel, in our Sedra, chapter Lamed Vov, Posuk Ches, here it says, Vayasu Kol Chacham Lev, here it's the reporting of the action having been fulfilled. Here, and every wise-hearted man did the melacha of the Mishkan, etc. Esayuriyah, Sheish Mosar, how they built the Mishkan. Full details, a detailed report of how they built the Mishkan, all the way through until Lamed Zion, the beginning of chapter 37. Up till there, it's all details of how they made the Mishkan. Then it starts, Vayas, Bezalel, Es Orin Atzei Shittim, and Bezalel made the Orin out of Shittimud, and the Sayim Vachetzi Orko, 2.5 Amo was its length, the Amo Vachetzi Rochbo, and 1.5 Amo its width, the Amo Vachetzi Koimoso, and so on it goes through. So here we have the four sections. First, the Ribbono Shel Olam gives details of how to make the Yishkan and the Kelim. Then he repeats it in general terms. Moshe tells the Bnei Israel only in general terms, and the Torah gives us a detailed report of exactly what they've done. Two difficulties. Firstly, one would think the most important time where the details should have been mentioned was when Moshe told Bnei Israel how to do it. That's the time that he just gives them the general principles, he doesn't give them the details. How do they know how to do it? It goes to all the length of telling us what they did. Why doesn't it rather do the other way, the other way around? Let Moshe tell Bnei Israel exactly what to do. And then at the end, in our sefer, it could merely say, and Bnei Israel made the Aron and the Kelim, the Mishkan and the Kelim, according to the instructions of Moshe. And we would know what it meant. That's one of the difficulties. We have another difficulty. Just find the relevant Medrash. The Medrash asked on in Parshas Truma that with all the things that had to be made, it says "Bechol hakelim ha'ele ksiv ba'osisa," and you shall make instructions. This is the Ribbono Shel Olam's instructions to Moshe. "Ve'osisa," you shall make. "Uva'orin ksiv ba'osu orin." When it comes to the orin, it says, "And they shall make the orin." If you have a look back in Truma now. You'll see that that's exactly how it is. Look, for example, in Kaf Hei 25, verse 17, Yud Zayin. There it says, "V'osiso chaperes of Torah," and you shall make a chaperes. Look what it says in Kaf Gimel of chapter Kaf Hei, verse Kaf Gimel 23, "V'osiso," and you shall make a shulchan. But if you go right back to the beginning, Kaf Hei verse Yud, verse 10. What does it say there? Not we or Cesar, not you shall make in the singular, but the osu and they shall make. Not you shall make, they shall make. Ask the Medrash, why the difference with the Orin? Answers the Medrash, because this is talking about the Orin which contains the Torah. Omer Rabbi Yehuda b'Rabbi Sholom, Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Ribbono Shel Olam said, Yavoyu HaKol V'yasku B'Orin, let everybody participate in the manufacture of the Orin, Kadesh Yisku Kulam the Torah, so that all of them will have a merit, have a right, a schus, to the Torah. That's what they say. Now look at our Sedra. What does it say about the Orin in our Sedra? In Vayakel, in Lamed Zayin Aleph, is that where it says about the Arun? Yeah. Vayak Betzalel is Arun Atzeshitim. The Medrash has just gone out of its way to show that the Arun was the one thing that everybody participated in, and in our Sedra, the only thing about which it is ascribed specifically to Betzalel is the Arun. Everything is, it says, and they made, and they made, and they made. The Orin, which we've pinned as being the one that everybody played a part in, that the Chumash is, Vayad B'Tzalel made it. Completely inconsistent. So these psukim of repeating and repeating and repeating, what's hidden underneath it, just look at all the mysterious things that there are there. That's always the danger of Chazorah, of revision. When you revise, you tend to miss all the goodies. Because you think you know it already. You don't know it. It's in the revision that you get to know it. And it's from revising over and over again. Each time you pick up new things, provided you revise with a fresh ear. And people's tendency is they go through these sedras and they just whiz through them, even when they're learning them. Because this is just a repetition of what's been already. And they don't even notice the gems that are hidden underneath in the inconsistencies between the different times that they are repeated. Let's start at the end. Vayas Betzalel es Aron Atzeshitim. That's the pasuk on which we opened with the Medrash. Betzalel made the Aron. Chazal learned from that in some way Betzalel did something here all on his own, completely on his own initiative. There's something that Betzalel did here which nobody else participated in. What's the background? The Gemara tells us the following in Gemara Brachos. Daf Nun Hei. Rabbi Shmuel Yonason, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, said in the name of Rabbi Yonason, Bezalel al shem chochmosoi nikru. Bezalel's name is because of his wisdom. B'shoa she'omar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe. When Ribbono Shel Olam told Moshe, Lech emor lo le'Bezalel, go and tell Bezalel, Asei li mishkan orin v'keli. Go and make me a mishkan, an orin, and keli. Mishkan is the building that houses the whole business, the orin, the ark, and the other utensils. Halach Moshe. Moshe went behofach, and he turned the order around. The Omar, and he said, the Omar Lohin, he said to Bezalel, Ase orin bekelim u'mishkan. Make an orin, kelim, and a mishkan. Strange. Why should Moshe have turned it around? Omar Lohin said Bezalel to Moshe. Now don't forget, Bezalel didn't hear God's instructions to Moshe. He's only getting it second hand. So Bezalel said to Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe our teacher, min hagu shel olam, the minhag of the world, adam boneh bayis, a person builds a house, v'achar kach machnis l'tzoich l'kelim, and afterwards one puts the furniture in, v'ata oimer li'asei orin v'kelim u'mishkan, and you telling me first to make the kelim, first to make the furniture, and then to build the building, kelim shani yoseh, the furniture I'm going to be making, the kelim, the orin, and the shulchan, and the menorah, where am I going to put them exactly? Maybe the Ribbono Shel Olam told you the following. I say Mishkan or in the Kelim. Maybe he said it the other way around. Maybe Mishkan came first. Amalei says, Moshe Rabbeinu, Shema Betzel Kel HaYisov Yodato. Maybe Betzalel, Betzel Kel, maybe you have been in the shadow of God and you overheard that you know so much. How brilliant of you, how wonderful of you. Of course you're right, says Moshe Rabbeinu. Make the Mishkan first. Tani Gemara. Moshe Rabbeinu twisted around. Bezalel picks it up, and Moshe says, yeah, you're right. That's in fact what God did say. What's it all about? You know, some would want to say that Moshe was just testing the sharpness of Bezalel to see whether he would pick up to what degree he understood exactly what had to be done. But I think that there's a lot more to it than that. This is what the Chazal attach the meaning to Vayas Bezalel es Oren. That Oren was Bezalel's own contribution, although physically the whole of Klal Yisrael took part in the making of the Oren. The fact that the Oren was made later and not as Moshe wanted it initially, that was the contribution of Bezalel. Had it not been for Bezalel, Moshe would have instructed the ark to be made first. And that's why the making of the ark of the Oren is ascribed to Bezalel. He made it. What is this machlokes between Moshe and Bezalel? Moshe has a major problem. Look again in Truma verse Kafhei, chapter Kafhei verse Yud. In Pasuk Yud, this is now the first instruction to make the Mishkan. The Osu Arin Atzei Shittim. The first thing they had to make was an Arin. So number one. Further on, in Yudzayin, at Sheni, Velsiso Kapores. In Kaf Yimel 23, Velsiso Shulchan, you shall make the table. In Lamed Aleph 31, Velsiso Menoira Zorv Toi, you shall make the Menoira. In Posuk, in chapter Kavav, the beginning of Kavav, the Es HaMishkan Ta'atse, and you shall make the Mishkan as well. So we see clearly what order it is. The way Moshe wanted it. First the Shulchan, first the Arin, then the Shulchan, then the Menorah, and then the Mishkan. However, the next time the Ribbono Shel Olam gives him the story, in Ki Tiso, in Lamed Aleph, chapter 31, verse 7, Zion, what is he told? You must make Oel Moed, the Mishkan, Vesa Oel Loedus, Vesa Kapores, Asher Olo, Veskol Kle Ha'el, Veshulchan, Veskelo, Vesamnoir, Atoir, Veskol Kelo, Vesmach Akteris. Here the Ribbono Shel Olam repeats the same instruction, and this time it's the Mishkan first, and it's the Kelim afterwards. Moshe Rabbeinu has a problem. The Ribbono Shel Olam is given two instructions, and they're inconsistent. The one instruction, the order is first the Kelim and then the Mishkan, and the second instruction is first the Mishkan and then the Kelim. What do you do? Moshe decides the first way. First the Kelim and then the Mishnah. Bezalel decides the second way. So when Moshe tells, when it says that Moshe turned it around, it doesn't mean that he turned it around because he had authority for both. It simply means he turned around the intention of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Bezalel decides that the intention of the Ribbono Shel Olam is the Mishkan first, as in the second tzivui, as in the second instruction in Ki Tisa. Firstly, why didn't they go and ask the Ribbono Shel Olam? They've got the ask. Moshe is able to communicate with the Ribbono Shel Olam whenever he wants to. If you've got a shaila, the Ribbono Shel Olam has said something which you don't understand, go and ask. You see with what reluctance they ask. Asking is only when they've exhausted every other possibility. One doesn't ask until you've done your own thinking. Asking is not a lazy man's way out of thinking for himself. That's maybe what asking has become, but that's not what it's intended to be. You ask when you've tried everything else and you've gone as far as you're capable of going. And you understand exactly how far you've gone and how far you need to go and you can't make it. Then you ask. Before that time you have no right to ask. You're not on the level yet to be asking questions altogether. At this point they have a problem. There is an inconsistency, but they can still sort it out among themselves. They don't have to resort to the Ribbono Shel Olam. They've got to understand now, what did the Ribbono Shel Olam mean? Why did he put it in an inconsistent way? Why did he first tell us to build the Mishkan and then the Kelim and then the Mishkan, and secondly he tells us to build the Mishkan and then the Kelim? Moshe Rabbeinu chooses the first way, but Bezalel chooses the second way. They sit down and they argue it out. Eventually Moshe Rabbeinu agrees that the intention of the Ribbono Shel Olam is as Bezalel learned, not as Moshe Rabbeinu initially thought. That's how they do, not necessary to ask. I could have been more sure by asking. Why not ask? Pick up the phone and ask. As people do today, you've got a shaila. So go pick a phone up one of the gedolim. They've got nothing else to do except to answer your little shailas that you've got. Phone him, you've got a telephone. Nobody would have thought of doing so in the days before a telephone. Nobody would have got onto a ship and gone to ask such a shaila. But now, just because there happens to be a telephone, nag him, drive him crazy. Ask him all the shailas that you're too lazy to work out by yourself. I will say, I'm not too lazy, I can work it out, but I might as well be sure. That you're not chayav to do. You're obligated to do the best you can. And when you've done the best you can, that's your psak. You don't have to go further than that. But Bezalel and Moshe could have got absolute clarity by consulting with the Moshe, with the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Ribbono Shel Olam probably wouldn't have answered them. That's something you work out yourself and you do as you see fit. You've got all the information you need. What's the basis of the machlokes? There is a difference when one's building an idea to when one's building in practice. A conceptual building and a real building work in different ways. The difference is, what does it mean to build? It means you put one brick on top of another. Can you build put the second brick there before the first brick is there? You can't. If you want the second line of bricks, you need a first line of bricks under it. If you want a third line of bricks, you need a second line of bricks under the first line. And under the second line, you need a first line of bricks. Third line of bricks. Building means starting with a foundation and then laying the first level on top of the foundation and the second level on top of the first level and the third level on top of the second level. V'chein halos, so you go until the building is complete. There is no other way to build. That's what building means. In concept, it doesn't work like that. Let's say you're planning to build a house. It's a concept still. You want it to be an ideal house. You've got unlimited funds, and you want it to be an ideal house. What do you start with? You start imagining the foundations. How are the foundations going to look? Because we must go step by step. Once I know how the foundations are going to look, then I can plan the first level of the bricks. That's not how you start. You start off saying, what is an ideal house? Number one. You work with all sorts of complicated things. It should have this and this facility, and it should be that and that way, and it should have this general aesthetic appearance, and it should have be economical, its utilization of energy, and it should be open to the sun, and it should be north-facing. That's not where you start. You've got to start with foundations. The answer is it depends if you're in the thinking stage or in the building stage. If you're in the building stage, you have to start with foundations. If you're in the thinking stage, you've got to start at the end. You've got to decide what is the ideal. Once you've worked out what the ideal is, then you work out one stage before the ideal. In order to achieve that ultimate, what do I need just in that particular way? It's got to be located correctly. You want a house that is economic on energy, you're going to have a lot of glass work in it. It's all the things that one works out. And then, so you decide, let's say that you're going to have a glass roof. Now you've got to work out ways of supporting the roof, of creating a ceiling, which keeps the sun out when you want it out, brings the sun in when you want it in. So next level. Then there's got to be walls that support the ceiling, and then there's got to be a foundation that supports the walls. Ultimately, you get down to the foundations. When you start building, you start with the foundations. It's a different way of working. And that concept is the concept of Seif Maiseh B'machshova Tchila. The end of the action is the first in the thought, in the mind. The ultimate of achievement is the thing one first thinks about. Gemara says in Eruv in Daf Yud Ches, Rabbi Avohu Rami. Rabbi Avohu asked a contradiction in the Psuki. Ksiv Zohar Nekeva Baraom. It says God created man, male and female, in the first chapter. Uchtiv, and it says, Betzelem Elohim Boro Oisoi. He created him in the image of God. What's going on? What happened to her? This answers the Rabbi Avohu. Bitchilo, in the beginning, also b'machshovo livroi shnayim. In the beginning, God thought to create two individuals, male and female. V'libasot le'nivroi eloach echot. And at the end, he created only one. One being who contained both male and female properties, and they were later separated again. What does all that mean? In the beginning God created one, he wanted to make two, and then he made one, but he changed his mind, and then back to two again. The Vilna Gaon asks another question. In Mishlei Perik Tes, Posuk Yud, he says, but the Mishnah says, in Ein Yiro in Chochma, V'imein Chochma in Yiro. If there is no Yiro Shemayim, there's no wisdom, and if there's no wisdom, there's no Yiro Shemayim. V'hikshu asks the Vilna Gaon, Eizim Mehen Kedim, which one comes first? If there's no Yiro, there's no Chochma, there's no Chochma, so where do you start? You can't achieve Chochma if you don't have Yiro, you can't achieve Yiro if you don't have Chochma, so where do you start? What do you do? And he answers, Ki b'machshova hatachlis tchila. Exactly as we've said. In thought, in ideal, the ultimate comes first. V'achar kach ha-chochma ech la'asis. And then, one works out how to do it. V'ha-yiro hi ha-tachlis. The ultimate is yiro shemayim, fear of God. V'lachin v'machshova, and therefore in planning and in thought, ha-yiro tchilo, first comes yiro. V'im ein yiro, ein chochma. And if you don't have Yira as the ultimate, you're not going to achieve Chochmah, you're not going to achieve wisdom to get there. But when it comes to getting there, the first thing you've got to do is have wisdom. You can't possibly achieve Yira Shemayim if you don't have wisdom. And that's what it means, Im Ein Chochmah in Yira. So what does the stage mean? Im Ein Yira in Chochmah. If you don't have Yira as the ideal, you'll never develop Chochmah. V'imein chokhma in yiro, and if in practice you don't develop wisdom first, you'll never get to yiro. Opposite ways of looking at it. V'zeh she'omru, and that's pshat in the Gemara we've just learned, b'tchilo olu b'machshova libra shnayim v'lebeset liboro elo echod. Initially God thought to create one and two, and then he created only one. V'chichas v'sholom yeshinu. Does it mean, God forbid, that he changes his mind? One minute he wants this, the next minute something else. Elo shema she'boro ha'kodosh baruch hu esa isho. Why did the Ribbono Shel Olam create a woman to be a companion to a man? A help. What use is a woman if she's tied to him? There's no question that the function of a woman requires that she should be a separate being. She cannot be the same being. So why did he create them together? But the reason he initially created them as one, so that there should be love and brotherhood between husband and wife, more so than with his brothers and other relatives. To know that there is that initially they evolved from one being. And they have to achieve a coming back to that state of being one body. And that's what it means when it says bitchila dahainu, that is the machshava in thought. When God was planning man and woman, he planned them as two human beings. Shekeinu atachlis, because that's the ideal. But how do you get two separate human beings creating a unity like one? The ma'aseh borat chilu echod. He had to start off with them as one and then separate them. The only way he could achieve the ideal was by starting off first in the situation where there is one. And that's what it means. So we see here too that the Ribbono Shel Olam functions in the same way. That seif ma'aseh b'machshava tchilo. The ultimate of one's achievement is the very kernel of one's initial thoughts. You start off with the ideal in your thought. But when it comes to practice, you start off with the foundation. You don't start off with the ideal. Moshe Rabbeinu, the ideal, what's this Mishkan all about? The pinnacle of the whole Mishkan is the Orin. Is the Orin, the ark which holds the Torah, which holds the Luchos HaBris. That's what it's all about. That gets made first. The Tzaddik comes along and he says, that's not how one builds. You're right. In idea, in concept, the Orem comes first. But not in practice. Anybody who knows anything about building knows you first got to build the house. You first got to do the Mishkan. And therefore, the Tzaddik says, the reason that the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us, in one case he told us to build the Mishkan first, and in one case he told us to build the Orem first, is to tell us that the Orem comes first in ideal. But in building, the Mishkan comes first. So he gave us the two, leaves it to us to work out which is the practical way. But what about Moshe Rabbeinu's Havamina? That makes Moshe Rabbeinu Chas V'Shalom look like some idiot. So what did he think? How did he explain it? And afterwards he just gives in to the Tzaddik. There is one form of material building which follows the rules of conceptual building. But there has to be a hakdoma before that. There has to be an introduction before that. Order is critically important. Putting one thing before another. Placing one thing before another is an expression of a sense of value. That's how we express a sense of value. We put a chumash on top of a gemara. So it's not just hefker, anything on top of anything, it doesn't make any difference. Everything's with a seder. And one understands an individual by his seder. The finest expression, the most accurate expression of a human being's sense of values is how he orders different things. What comes first? What comes second? What's more important? What's less important? How does he show his sense of values, his sense of what is important? By what he puts first and what he puts second. That's what's critical. And that's what makes differences between different individuals, between different people. That makes the differences in approach even in Yiddishkeit. You've got some people who put learning before everything else. Chokhmah comes first. You've got some people who put other things before. Each one has what they put before everything else. One individual puts his family before everything else. Another individual puts his Yiddishkeit before everything else. Another individual puts his business before everything else. Shows who the individual is. The one who puts his business before everything else believes that if he's got money, everything else he can sort out. All his family problems he can handle, the Ribbono Shel Olam he can handle, everything can be handled if he's got money. That's what it means, if he puts his business first. The one who puts his family first believes that if he has a happy family life, everything else will sort out. The one who puts his Yiddishkeit first believes that if he's okay with the Ribbono Shel Olam, everything else will be sorted out. Depends on the human being. Each one has his own way of looking at the world. you have an individual who gets into a tiz. His wife is calling him to help out the babies. His secretary is calling him that there's a crisis in the business, and it's shiur time. And he has a nervous breakdown. He doesn't know what to do with himself. He hasn't got his sense of orders. The individual who has his seder, he knows what comes first and what comes second, what's central to the others, and what, if this is working, everything else will fit into place. Fine. Torah comes first. Kavius it in the Torah, that I don't miss no matter what. That's the first thing. The rest will sort out when I get back. And he usually finds when he gets back that the babies are born, and that the business problem has somehow sorted itself out, and the wife has managed to survive, and so has the secretary. Everything's managed to get done, and he's learned the blood gemara, and he comes home happy, and he's able to calm his wife down, and everybody's happy. That's what usually works out if he has his sense of values right. But if he doesn't, then he gets torn into a million pieces. So he helps his wife bath the babies, and his wife gets into a tiz and something else. She's not in a tiz because of the baby. She's in a tiz because she's in that kind of mood. So she goes into the kitchen, and now she's a tiz over supper because the meat is burnt. And he's busy bathing the baby, and the business thing still hasn't worked out, and he's missed his shoe. And the next night he goes to the shoe and he doesn't know what's going on, so he comes back and he's cross with his wife. And so it goes from one thing to the end, all because he said it was wrong. He didn't have the order right. A human being expresses himself by the seder, the order in which he does. And so, of course, the Ribbono Shel Olam teaches us by the order in which things are done. If one builds the order one follows, let's start with building an idea. If you build with an idea, we said the order is first the idea, then one step below that, then one step below that, then one step below that, until you get to ground level. In building, physically, the other way around. What is the seder? What is the order? First foundations, then the ground level, and the next level, and so you go up until you're finished. What is the concept of Berea? To create our ab initio. Something we can't do. Only the Ribbono Shel Olam can do that. To create the world out of nothing. What order does that follow? Does that now follow the order of building? Is it necessary first to build to create foundations? Or can you create the roof first, and then create the foundations, and then create the plumbing, and then create the walls, and then create the electricity? Just do it as you want. What is the order that must govern Berea? The answer is Berea. If you can create something out of nothing, you can suspend the roof while you're busy putting up the walls. You don't have to build the walls first to put the roof on top. If you can create something out of nothing, you can lift the house up and then put your foundations up and put the house back again on the foundation. You're not restricted. So when you're talking about Berea, about creating ab initio, that's the point at which these two concepts merge. At that point, conceptual building and physical building merge. You build in accordance with your conceptual seder, not with your physical seder. You don't need your physical seder. You now use the order of importance, not the order of building, because you're not building, you're creating. And when you're creating, the same as in ideas, you first create the ultimate, and then you work out how to get there. So if you're creating physically, that's like conceptual building, that's not like real building. And you start off straight away with creating your ultimate. That machlokes is the machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemiah with which we started. But the machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemiah involves the second machlokes too. Let's go over it again. B'sho shebor HaKadosh Baruch Hu Olamo Yokuloi Mayim B'mayim. When God created the world, it was all water within water. Shneema V'chishech HaPanei Tohim. And as it says, and there was darkness on the face of the depths. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ha'or Baro Tchilo V'Achaka Choylo. Rabbi Yehuda says, first he created the light and then the world. Rabbi Nechemia Omer Ha'olam Nivro Tchilo. Rabbi Nechemia says, first the world was created and then the light. And the Midrash started off with a posuk of Pesach Dvorecho Yoyir Mevin Pesoyin. The opening of your words will give light. It makes simple people understand, says Rashi. Your opening words at the creation of Bereshis, Yehi Oyer. So we see already Rashi is learning here like the view that light was created first, that the opening words were Yehi Oir. Those words, Mevin Psoim, make simple people understand. Misham Yavinu Akol. From there, everybody will understand. Beyiftechu Bedivrei Torah. And they will start off with Torah. That must come first. We're beginning to see the connection. So, the light which Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemiah are talking about is something from which we're supposed to learn. Rabbi Yehuda says, light was created first. Before you start, you've got to have clarity, says Rabbi Yehuda. You don't start building if you can't see what you're doing. First, the first thing is clarity. And that says the Rashi on Tehillim. From there we learn that you start off with Torah. The very first thing you do with Torah is not, you don't first get yourself a profession, and then you get yourself a wife, and then you find yourself a home to live in, and then you start working, and maybe one day when you retire you learn a bit of Torah as the cherry on top. That's not the way it works. You have to start off with Torah. Don't go into this messy world if you don't have clarity. If you don't know where you're going and what you're doing, don't start building. You want to start building, you start with Torah. That's the first thing you look at. Rabbi Yehuda says no. Rabbi Yehuda says, first, but the last thing you put in is the lights. What kind of building is this? We see the same kind of machlokes as Moshe and Betzalel. First you put up the building, you put in the lights at the end. First God made heaven and earth, then he put in the light. Now there's another machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemiah. This is brought in the Yalkut Shimrini, in Bereishis. Rabbi Yehuda, Rimei Rabbi Yehuda says, Leshisho yomim nivra ho'ilom. Every day of the 6 days of creation, creation took place. That's what Rabbi Yehuda says. Something was created on every day, which is the way we were taught in Cheder. Rabbi Nechemiah says, Miyom Harishon Nivra Kol Ha'ilam. The whole world was created on the first day. Nothing was created after the first day. What happened after the first day? Says Rabbi Nechemiah, evolution. A long, long time before Darwin was born. It evolved. Not Darwin's kind of evolution. It was all with the Yad Hashem and with Hashgacha Pratis. It was all 100% controlled by the Ribono Shel Olam. And there's no question that the human being was not an evolution from the ape. But creation, nothing was made ab initio after the first day. That didn't exist. The Ramban explains that a very fine material was created on the first day, which is the most basic of all forms of matter, so thin that it cannot be seen, a unimolecular sort of structure, a very basic atom, something which is indivisibly small. Moshe Ramban talks about a hydrogen atom. He doesn't call it a hydrogen atom, he calls it tohu. And that was the only thing which was created ab initio. From that hydrogen atom, if that's what Tohu means, everything else developed. The Ribono Shel Olam formed that into all the other things that existed. But the only thing he created from nothing was that atom. That's how Rabbi Nechemiah learns. Now let's tie these two disputes of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemiah together. Rabbi Yehuda is the one who says light was created first, and he's the one who says there was no evolution at all. There was creation ab initio on each day of the Shisha Yemei Bereishis. Rabbi Nechemiah is the one who says the earth was created first. What is the difference between creation existing every day and the evolutionary, I'd say evolutionary in quotation marks, approach of Rabbi Nechemiah? What's the difference? That we should already have the foundations for that difference. Rabbi Nechemiah says, after the first day, the world was built, following all the rules of normal building. Rabbi Yehuda says, there was no building, this was Bria, this was creation. And in creation, the order is not a practical order. In creation, the order is the ideal order. When you're creating, you don't have to follow the practical order. When you're creating, you can follow the ideal order. If you can follow the ideal order, what comes first? Oil, says Rabbi Yehuda. Since this was Bria, since this was all creation, you start with clarity, you start with light. You start knowing exactly where you're going to go. Says Rabbi Nechemiah, the world was built step by step. Each day developed out of the day that went before it. Each day evolved out of the day that went before it. And you can't start with oil. The light is you put in afterwards. First you build the building, and then you put in the light. The difference is, was it Bria or was it Yetzira? Was it creation or was it formation? If it was creation, then you can have started with light. If it was formation, then you must have started correctly and put light in sometime later. And with that we can understand the machlokes between Moshe Rabbeinu and Bezalel a lot more clearly. Moshe Rabbeinu says, before we do that in fact, when the Ribbono Shel Olam in Truma, the first time, gives the instructions for the construction of the Mishnah, there he gives it in detail. But each one is compartmentalized. Have a look and you'll see. In Kaf Hei Yud 25:10, starts the building of the Orin, and this is an insulated capsule of information which ends at verse 23. It has no connection with what went before it and no connection with what comes after it. At verse 23 starts the Shulchan. And this too is an insulated capsule of information that continues until Pasuk Lamed Aleph, till 31. At 31 starts the Menorah. And you can see that each one is a new paragraph. Do you see the pay? Each one of these starts in the Sefer Torah starts a new paragraph. You are Sisa Menorah Zov Torah, you start the Menorah. And this continues until the end of the description of the Menorah, which is the end of the chapter. And there you start the Mishkan. The end of the chapter begins with a Mishkan Tase Esiri, which is also an encapsulated piece of information. When you're dealing with concepts, with Bria, the one isn't built on what went before. The order here is not the practical order. The order is the order of ideals. The main thing are the Kalim, the main thing is the Orem. To build an oil, and then you have to have a place to put it in, so you build a Mishkan. This is the ideal. Each one stands on its own. When it comes to the correct order, there we have in Kitiso and Lamed Aleph, where it's again the Ribbono Shel Olam speaking, 31 chapter 7, Es oil moed ve'es oron leidus, es akapurit asher oleo ve'es kol klei ha'oil ve'es ha'shulchon ve'es kele ve'es ha'menorah. Here these are not separate pieces of information. This is one string. The order in which they must be built is stated here. Here we're given the order. Says Moshe Rabbeinu, the building of the Mishkan is miraculous in any event. The building of the Mishkan is a microcosm of the ideal world. We don't have time to go into a description and discussion of that at the moment. We have to do it in a future year in Yotzasha. The Mishkan is a microcosm of an ideal world. The building of the Mishkan is a replay of the creation in an ideal way. Says Moshe Rabbeinu, we're working with Bria. We're working with creation here. We're not building normally. We're not building like an ordinary architect and an ordinary engineer and an ordinary builder. It's all miraculous. So we've got to follow the rules of Bria. What order must we build in? The order of value. First comes the Orin. That's the most important. Then worry about where to put it. Then be so practical, work on the ideal. Says Bezalel to Moshe, but look how the world itself was created. Even the world was created first Shomayim v'Oretz and Oyer afterwards. Bezalel learns like Rabbi Nechemia and Moshe Rabbeinu learns like Rabbi Yehuda. And when Moshe Rabbeinu looks at the two and he realizes that God in fact told him both, and that Bezalel's way you can reconcile both. You can say, God told me to make the Orin first because that's the ideal. In the Machshove, in the planning stage, He told me the Orin first. In the practical stage, when the Tzivui came, right, now go, tell them to build. There He told me the Mishkan first. Oh, according to Bezalel, that makes sense. According to the way I wanted to learn, says Moshe Rabbeinu, I can't explain the two of them. I can only explain the one. I can explain the first, but I can't explain the second. And we see from here another concept. One would think that the details of how to make the whole story, one would learn from Parshas Truma, where the details are given. And that's where Moshe learns from. Moshe says, let's look at Parshas Truma. What are you starting with me about Parshas Tisla B'Tzala? In Truma we're given every detail of how it's to be made. And what are we told there? Which gets made first? The Orin. And Kitisa, it's in two sentences. It says, B'Tzala, I'll learn from the two sentences, not from the detail. Why? What's the difference? Here we have the same concept that we discussed at the Shir last night. One can find, as halachic literature develops, it gets lengthier and lengthier. Where the Rambam writes a paragraph, the two writes a chapter. Where the two writes a chapter, the Shulchan Aruch writes a long chapter. On each paragraph of the Shulchan Aruch, the Mefoshim writes a chapter. And on each chapter of the Mefoshim, on each paragraph of the Mefoshim, the later Achronim write Tzvarim, whole Tzvarim on one chapter. And so it goes, and so it goes. Where does one learn from? So you learn from the end. It's like a pyramid. It starts off with one principle, Tzadik Be'emunoso Yichye, as the Gemara says. At the end of it, there's one principle which governs the whole Torah. But as you go down, it gets more and more and more and more. And each generation it gets wider and wider and wider. If you really want to understand the workings of the Torah, where do you work from? From the source, where it's very, very brief and needs tremendous work to understand what it means. Or do you go to where it's much more verbose and you can read it sitting down quite calmly and relaxedly, and it gives you all the details. This you must do, this you mustn't do, this is how you do it, this is when you do it, and so it goes on. But Tzalel learns from the brief klal, from the principle, where it's put in very general terms, not from the details. He learns and he paskins from the klal. He understands, that's where I'll understand the principle of it. Once I've understood the principle, I'll know how to do it. Then I'll consult the details to know how to do all the details. But to understand anything which is not covered by the details, if I need to project myself into a situation which is not explicitly mentioned in the details, I've got to go back to the source in order to be able to do so. I must get to the yesod of the thing. And the yesod is in Parshas Kitiso, not in Parshas Truma. The yesod is given in two sentences, and there I'll find the complete out all the details, says the Tzad. And the Ramban says that that is in fact why the Moshe Rabbeinu, in repeating the instructions of the construction of the basin of the Mishkan, does not give details. He gives only generalities. The words of the Ramban are quite amazing. Ramban and Al Sedra in Perik Lamed Vav Posuk Ches says the Ramban about Kitzru Lohem Be'elu. Moshe Rabbeinu was brief with them in these. All he said is that they must make the Mishkan of 10 sections, 5 against 5. The Hemevinu, and they understood themselves without being told. All the little hooks and the little loops that had to be there, and the beams that had to be there, that they all worked out. He only hinted it to them in very brief language. And they understood everything. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu isn't lengthy. Bifrat hazeh. Yirmu is akosuv. The posuk with this indicates to us. Chochmosom uvinosom etuv haseichel shebohem. Their wisdom, their bino, and their straight intelligence. So that even in the construction, when we're told, when God tells Moshe how to do it, he tells him every detail. Because we've got to learn from those details. It's Torah, it's part of the Torah, every detail of it. When the Ribbono Shel Olam repeats the general principle, he repeats it very briefly, just giving the outline, but in that outline one sees the complete picture and one sees the order of things. Then Moshe comes to tell the Bnei Yisrael, and he tells them not quite as briefly as the Ribbono Shel Olam's second description, but nowhere near as detailed as the Ribbono Shel Olam's first description. He tells them more has to be made. They all work it out, and in this week's Sedra it comes and teaches you exactly what they did. And if you compare what they did to what the Ribbono Shel Olam instructed Moshe, not them, they didn't hear, you'll find it's exactly right. They worked everything out exactly the way the Ribbono Shel Olam had told Moshe, even though they never heard it at all. Where did they learn it from? Moshe wanted them to learn from principles, not to learn from details. Moshe will not do their thinking for them. after you undo. Moshe gives them enough information that if they are highly intelligent and have tremendous Kedusha and Siyata Dishmaya, they can take that information and with that they can make a perfect Mishkan. But he doesn't give them one bit of information more from that, even though Moshe has access to all that information. Even though God gave Moshe all that information, he doesn't give it to them. They must deduce min haklal el haprat. They must deduce from the general principle to the details, without being spoon-fed each one of the details. That's the principle of the whole method. That's the principle of the method of Torah, right from the beginning. The Gemara is written in a way where if you have tremendous understanding and tremendous intelligence and Mesiris and Siyata Dishmaya, you can understand it. Reached a time where people could no longer do that, it was necessary for Rashi to come along. But Rashi put in only those words which were absolutely necessary, without which you couldn't manage. And that's why we have to break our heads on a Rashi now, because he doesn't give us one word more than what we absolutely need. Comes a time where that isn't enough, and other Meforshim come along. And then it goes on, the Mishnah went to the Gemara went to the other Meforshim, to the Poskim, to the Rambam, the Rif, each one being careful not to give more than the generation needs at that time, just as much as they need. The individual has to do his own thinking. The Torah won't do the thinking for you. The principles are there, but you have to work out the details. And that's the yesod in this whole parsha, is the principle to the detail. And it was using that very method that Bezalel wins his arguments against Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu takes Sefer Truma, he takes the Shulchan Aruch, where every detail is there, and he says, look, Bezalel, test the Aruch. Bezalel takes the Chumash, not the Shulchan Aruch. He goes right back and he says, look, Moshe, Kitisa. There's only two lines here, but in those two lines we're told everything. In those two lines, the Mishkan comes first. Why did God give them Aaron first in Truma to teach us, but in ideal, the Aaron comes first. In Kitisa, we're told the practical way in which to build it. Here, the Mishkan comes first, we have to build it. I says, Moshe Rabbeinu, but didn't God create the light first and then the rest of the world? Says, Bezalel, no. I hold like Rabbi Nechemia. Ribbono Shel Olam created the Olam, and then he created the light afterwards. And so here too, although in idea, first the light, and then the rest of the world, in practice first the world and then the light. This is the difference between an idealist and a pragmatist. An idealist never makes a success. He's always a bit of a shlemiel, he's got good ideas and nothing ever comes of them. Why? Because he starts with the ideas and he doesn't know how to start with foundations. He creates an idea, but the idea is so far from achievement, and he doesn't know how to link the two. He only thinks in ideals. The pragmatist, on his own, doesn't reach great heights. He's successful, whatever he does, he lays the foundations, a solid foundation. Another rung, and so he builds, but he builds a very pedestrian kind of house. The idealist comes around and he looks at it and says, how boring. Couldn't you think of any new ideas? You know, houses, they are like this. Why didn't you have a house that doesn't need electricity? Says the pragmatist, Chochem, you make a house. It's just simple, you do this and you do that. And that. No, he says, make one. Have you ever made a house like that? So, I can't. Why can't you? Because I'm an idealist. And then Torah has to be both. He has to be an idealist and he has to be a pragmatist. If you're one without the other, you miss out. If you're a pragmatist without being an idealist, you don't know where you're going. That same Ramban starts off and says, it's an amazing Ramban. He asks, why did the Ribbono Shel Olam repeat the principle? If he'd given them the details, why does he repeat the principle? Ba'atam b'zeh shi'etzaveh Hashem l'moshe shi'agidol b'tzaleh v'oliyot v'cholachachonim hamlocha b'chlolo. The reason is that the Ribbono Shel Olam told Moshe to tell Bezalel and Oholiyot and the whole crew to do about the melacha, the work in general. And only afterwards did they approach the doing of it. Because a person cannot be fit for meleches hakodesh, for the holy work, and this applies not only to the building of the Beis Hamikdash, but it applies to learning a black Gemara as well. Ad sheyishmu kol hamelacha, until you've heard the whole thing, v'yavino eso, and you've understood it, v'yekabu aleihem, and you'll accept upon yourself sheyedu la'ashlimo, that you know how to get there. Then you start with step A again. But you can't start learning aleph if you don't know that there is a tach. You don't have to know the Taf yet, but you have to know that there is a Taf. You need to know how many letters there are in the alphabet before you start learning Aleph. And you've got to say to yourself, I'll get to Taf. I know I will. Because if you won't say that, there's no point starting Aleph. Who knows whether you really will get there? That's not in your hands. But before you start, you've got to feel fit to be able to do so. Ideally, before one starts the sugya of Gemara, before one starts a piece of Gemara, one should read the entire sugya a few times. Just the Gemara and Rashi. Once, twice, three times, four times, five times. Before one even looks at it. Just to understand where you're going. Where you have to get. Here you've got the synthesization of the pragmatist with the idealist. You've got to start, you've got to know that the ideal is there, you've got to know there's got to be an ordering. That's what you're working towards. Don't start building the Mishkan if you don't understand that you're still going to have to make an Orem. And that is the ultimate. There's the idealist. That's what I'm working towards. Now that you know that, start with foundations. First you build a Mishkan. There's tremendous glamour in the ideal. There's not much glamour in the real world. In the real world you roll up your sleeves and you dirty your hands and you start digging. And it's hard sweat and toil. At the end, after years and years of digging and building, comes the Yoru. At the end. But that's not... one can't work for the glamour. There's not enough of it. In the ideal, there's the glamour. In the back of your mind, all the time, as you're digging each shovelful of those foundations, you've got the Yoru in the back of your mind. That's what you're working towards. That's what you have to achieve. The two have to go together. An idealist without a pragmatist, just without an idealist, will get off the ground but not very far, and who knows if he'll go in the right direction even, who knows where he'll go. He might land up with a building which is not what was originally intended. Has to be both. The Ben Torah has to be able to take himself and dream of heights which seem far beyond him, and when he's conceived of those heights, appreciated them and identified them, he's then got to start working backwards. Good. That's step 99. What is step 98? And then what is step 97? And then what is step 96? And so work yourself down until what is the step now? Person says to himself, as he comes home after the shiur, he has supper, sits with his wife and chats a little bit, has a cup of coffee, and he sits down to his Gemara, getting tired already, doesn't understand much, he works 15-20 minutes, says his Gemara, and he says, he must be Kiva, he really wants to become a Talmud Chochem, he wants to understand the story of business. But now you must go to bed anyway. So we'll figure out tomorrow what to do about it. There you've got the idealist. He really wants to. He has an ideal. He wants to become a Talmud Chochem. But he left it there. The next thing he's going to say is, I want to become a Talmud Chochem. That's step 99. That's not even... To become a Talmud Chochem, what do you need to do? You need to know the whole of Shas. Good. Okay. Slowly, slowly. Now you know the whole of Shas. Step number 98. What's step number 97? Is knowing 19 of the 20 volumes of Shas. And step number 96, 95, and 94 is knowing the Masechta I'm busy with. It'll come down to. No, that's still step number 57. What's step number 56? Knowing one Perek, the Perek I'm busy with. And what's step number 55? Knowing the Omud I'm busy with. Step number 54 is not going to bed at that point. That's where he goes wrong. Step number 54 is good. The Gemara I've just learnt. We go over and over and over and over and over again. That's how you make sure that where one's leading to is where one wants to get. If you don't go through that exercise, if you've got the ideal on the one hand, and your practical life is so far away on the other hand, there's no way they can possibly join together. That's what makes people meshuggah. They go their entire lives becoming disappointed and disillusioned, unable to achieve their intentions and their aims and ambitions. They call it the crisis of middle life that a man goes through at about the age of 40, 45. And it suddenly dawns on him that he hasn't got enough time left to do what he set himself. Where did he make the mistake? Either when he set it for himself, or when he didn't use the first 45 years of his life. And good, he wakes up at 45, he hasn't got time. Of course you haven't got time now. You've been living with an ideal all the time, thinking one day you'll find the time. There's no one day. You've got to work it all out from the ideal, step by step, back until where you are now. When you've worked that out, you take your first step now. Not tomorrow, now you take your first step. You take your second step tomorrow and your third step the next day, and then when you're 45 or 55 or 65 or whenever it is, you'll find that you've achieved the level that has to be done, that has to be achieved. That's the pragmatist and the realist together. That Vayas, Betzalel es Oren. The Oren is attributed to Betzalel. It's he who perceives this and understands this and it's his day, it's his opinion, which Moshe Rabbeinu accepts.